This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Yeah, we're going to get an update from the Masters with Dan Reardon, no relation, down there in Augusta. You know, it's interesting. I love PGA Tour Radio as I promote satellite radio, being a terrestrial radio guy. Brian Kittrick is a friend, and he's doing great coverage right now. They call it Masters Radio right now on SiriusXM. But I was listening to a great interview last night with a guy that was also named Reardon. Dan and I spell the names exactly the same way. There are variations. But this guy was... he's one of the caddies for a big player out there, and it was really a fascinating conversation. I told Dan to track him down, and he might just do that. I think it was Jason Day's. Yeah, Jason Day's caddy, who is named Reardon. But Dan is down there. He's been tracking the leaderboard. We'll have an update at 5:45. I have a really, really great column by a guy by the name of John Cass that I want to share. John is a columnist from Chicago. He used to be at the Chicago Tribune. He's one of my favorite columnist in history. He's not the best radio guest, so we don't invite him on the air very much. Don't tell him that. But he's a great columnist, and he wrote about sacrifice and the unwillingness of our generation, certainly a younger generation, to make sacrifices, especially when juxtaposed with older generations. So I want to share that with you. We'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. Here's a guy, though, that is good on the radio. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast, back with us to kind of talk us off the panicking ledge, if you will. How are you, Dwayne? Good afternoon.
I am doing great, Mark. You talked about the Masters. So far to you, you got a choice between two moments. Which one is your favorite moment from the Masters? The little girl, the little daughter of Rory McIlroy sinking the putt?
Poppy.
Or Fred Couples hitting that eagle shot.
I think Freddie Couples, because I like him
at
so
65.
Much. Poppy is pretty cute. Yeah, because he's been there for 40 years. And Dwayne, I don't know how I missed this. Maybe it's just because I didn't remember, but I guess I was unaware and forgotten that Freddie Couples and Jim Nance were college roommates in Houston.
Yeah. They go way back together.
That's unbelievable. All right, before we get into all the politics, can we talk about something I haven't addressed yet? I'm guessing that you may have talked about this earlier. This was a harrowing moment on CNN last night, Dwayne. I'm a little surprised that Anderson Cooper does not have a job today, or that he was not fired. He still does have a job. But listen to what happened on CNN Live.
Bernie Sanders. I want to introduce Grace Thomas. She's a local civil rights attorney. She's a Democrat, Grace.
They, them pronouns, actually. Thank you.
Oh,
my God. You heard what happened there. He said she, and they said, I'm not a she.
Where is the litigation? Where is the litigation? Where is the lawsuit?
There should be one. I hope there is. I hope they're filing it right now. My goodness, how can he still have a job? I mean, if that happened on Fox, they'd be talking about it for days on CNN and in the New York Times, right?
Yeah, it's just such a silly thing. It's just a silly thing all the way around.
Well,
but if that's their rules, then we should. It's one set of rules, right?
Well, but piggybacking off that, this is something else I haven't talked about today, is this deal with Carolyn Leavitt. So basically they are saying, and the New York Times did do a story about this, they're saying if you have pronouns in your bio, you might not get a response from the White House. Now, personally, I love this because I hate the virtue signaling that goes on out there with these reporters, but I'm sure they don't love it, do they?
Oh, I think that's just grand that she's doing that. Because here's the thing. Freedom of speech means that you have the right to speak. If you want to go outside and just scream at the moon, you've got the right to do so. There's nowhere in there where you have a right to be heard, right? And that's what she's doing is, fine, you can email me all you want. You want me to respond? Respond like a normal person. Don't be, you know, if you're going to be one of these pronoun people and go way off track and you're signaling where you're coming from, why am I wasting my time with
you? Yeah, well, I think it's a very valid journalistic question. And I made that point with the news director here of KSDK, who's the NBC affiliate. I got into a little dust-up with a reporter last year by the name of Michelle Lee. I had no idea really who she was. But I noticed that she had she, her in her pronouns. And I kind of called her out on Twitter, you know, for virtue signaling. That began a back and forth where Michelle then declared that she had allegiance to the LGBTQIA plus community. My response was, well, wait a second. We have this big issue here in St. Louis that, you know, went national with Jamie Reed, the whistleblower at WashU with the trans, you know, gender-affirming care. My point was, journalistically, I asked Art Holliday, who's an alum of my alma mater, University of Missouri Journalism School. I said, Art, how can someone, you know, fairly report on something related to the Alphabet Mafia when they're declaring their allegiance to the Alphabet Mafia? Now, that's a rhetorical question, Dwayne, as you know. You simply cannot. But these reporters, they're all on that progressive side. They do it because they want a virtue signal. How would you able to get fair treatment when you know going in that someone's declaring which side they're on?
My granddad used to have a saying, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, right? And at some point, another saying he said is, don't bother putting lipstick on a pig. It just wastes your time and annoys the pig. If somebody's going to signal that that's where they're coming from, that's their worldview, that's what they're going to bring to the conversation, there's a lot more important things for this White House to be doing than to go back and dealing with this kind of nonsense.
Thank you. One of the things that really jumped out in the New York Times coverage of this, they say this. This is like four or five paragraphs down. The practice of including pronouns such as he, him, or they, them in email signatures and social media bios has become widespread in recent years as a way of clarifying one's gender identity. No, not really. And conveying inclusivity and solidarity for transgender and non-binary individuals. They could have shortened that by just said it's virtue signaling. I mean, that's all it is.
Absolutely. I was on a listener cruise in France a couple of years ago with the Hugh Hewitt Show. And when I was on this cruise, I got introduced to the crowd. And I walked up and I said, my name is Dwayne Patterson and my adverbs are bigly and goodly. Why is it just so about adjectives? Why can't we do adverbs, too?
Ooh, I never thought of that. Now my brain's starting to hurt. Good point. All right, let's talk about tariffs and things like that. Here is the Treasury Secretary earlier.
I gave a speech yesterday to 1,400 small and community bankers, and they were so happy to hear from your administration. And I told them Wall Street's done great for the past 4 years, 10 years, 20 years. It can continue doing great, but it's Main Street's turn now, and it's those small bankers through deregulation, through emphasis on Main Street, your Main Street agenda, bringing back jobs, that is going to power the smaller communities.
So this has been a crazy week on Wall Street, up and down. I read something, you know, we were talking about the Masters. This is funny. You know, at the Masters, you got to give up your phone. So there were people that went into Augusta National yesterday morning, and they had no idea what was going to happen. And then they get back on their phones in the evening, and they see what the market did, and they were quite dazzled. Now, today was not quite as fun as yesterday. It was in negative numbers. But there's things that are happening. I think you're encouraging patience, Grasshopper. Right, Dwayne?
Oh, I am. And you know what? There's a lot of people that bring their personal biases about Donald Trump one way or the other, for or against. And I'm just trying to look at this and see what the plan is and try to analyze what the plan is. And if you look at how Trump does things, and if you look at Trump video, even going back into 1990 with Oprah Winfrey on what he thought about tariffs and what his goal is for using tariffs, it's not hard to see what the plan here is. The plan is, with all of the tariffs that he's done, even to our, quote, allies and our friends, that has gotten everybody so angst up, he has gotten the rest of the free world to make a choice. In this century, for the next couple of decades, you're either going to trade fairly with the U.S., and we're going to be your biggest market, and we're going to be the ones that you deal with, or you're going to choose the Chi-Coms. You're going to choose China. It's one or the other. And by slapping the tariffs down on everybody, he got them to all say, well, you know what? You're right. We need to cut a deal. 75 countries are now trying to line up and renegotiate trade deals with the U.S. The world has basically chosen to deal with the U.S. over China. He got the most of the countries of the world, the important countries of the world, to make that choice. Now that he has done that, he pulled back and he paused the tariffs. Everybody wants to say, well, he blinked. No, he didn't. What he did is he got everybody to agree, yes, you caught us, we need to renegotiate a trade deal. For the next 90 days, we're going to hammer out what those deals are going to look like. Trump is pausing stuff in good faith. If these deals don't go the way that the U.S. wants them to go, they're going to go right back on again. The 10% tariff floor that he's going to do, it's not hard for me to see what that is. The 10% baseline floor of a tariff, think of that as an insurance policy or a premium. Think of that as a user fee or a maintenance fee on a timeshare condo that you never visit. If there is a major catastrophe in the world, if you need to protect the world's shipping lanes, if there's something that has to kind of keep the world glued together, which country does everybody go to? The U.S., right? They always come to us. Well, this is going to be like the user fee to have us on retainer. That's what that 10% is.
When you wrote about this in Hot Air, you talked about, look, you've covered this guy, Donald Trump, for a long time, and you referenced an interview that he did with Hugh on Hugh Hewitt's radio show. Share that story.
So this is well before he came down the escalator and decided he was going to run for president in 2015, and he was an expert witness on a House committee looking at the United Nations dealing with fraud and abuse in a refurbishing project to the UN building in Lower Manhattan. They had fielded out bids to different people to try to redo the building because it's a 30, 40-year-old building and it's falling apart. And so Trump was one of the people that tried to put in a bid to put a new skin on the outside of that building and to refurbish it. And he said, I can do it for X amount of dollars. And he was told, no, we can't do that because of God knows what bureaucracy involved.
Oh, I can imagine.
And it went $2 billion over budget, and it still didn't get done right. And so there was a congressional committee to try to get to the bottom of what happened, do some oversight. They brought Trump in as a witness, and he spent 30 minutes, and it was classic Trump. It was all of the ego. It was the self-confidence. It was kind of the sarcastic way that he uses language. But he finally told the congresspeople, well, you know, I tried to do this the easy way, but now you're going to do it this way, and you've got a real mess on your hands. We played every minute of that testimony on the air because it was just classic Trump, not even knowing he was going to run for president. So we interviewed him about that, and got to learn about the guy and how he thinks. It's not hard to understand a real estate developer's mentality once you have dealt with them, and that's what Donald Trump is.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I think a lot of people forget. And I've someone that should have learned this lesson a long time ago, because there's this, you know, instant knee-jerk reaction. The experts all come out with the doom and gloom. Then things turn around relatively quickly. The friends that have been, you know, reaching out to me, my advice is just give it a couple of weeks, if not a couple of months, and let's see where we are. Obviously, even in the last 3 days, there have been some changed minds in Washington about some of this stuff. It's evolving.
Look at what the result has now been thus far. You have all these countries that want to renegotiate trade. They're willing to fly to Washington to renegotiate a trade deal. Now, by definition, every one of those trade deals is going to be between marginally better, nominally better, or significantly better for the U.S., right? Which means in every one of these deals, are you going to see us have a worse trade deal than before we started? that doesn't seem to make any logical sense. So it's going to be better for us short, medium, and long term. Now, once you've got all these trade deals going on, what has now happened? You have basically decoupled the rest of the world, or started the decoupling process with the rest of the world, with China. And you've now isolated China. And so now you squeeze them. And that's what he's doing. This has always been about squeezing China and dealing with the China problem before they get stronger and we get weaker. It's actually, it's a problem we have to face anyway. We were going to have to tackle the Chi-Coms at some point because they were getting more aggressive. They still are. Would you rather deal with them now from a position of more strength, or would you rather wait until their military gets even stronger and bigger and our trade deficit and our economic situation gets worse?
Dwayne Patterson is here from HotAir.com. He's the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. What do you make of the Navarro Musk dust-up, which seemingly is falling on Musk's benefit right now? I don't think Peter's winning this one.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. We've known Peter Navarro about four Peter Navarros ago.
That says a lot, yes.
Because, I mean, he's a California guy. He used to be down in San Diego about, you know, an hour and a half south of us. And Hugh has known Peter personally for a long time, has never agreed with him. He's basically a Democrat.
He's a great radio guest, though, right?
He's
a great guest.
He'll completely fly off the handle, and he'll come in and break the furniture. But the thing about Peter Navarro is he is a no-growther, and he kind of wants to tax and use regulations to grind everything to a halt. He's a no-growther type. Now, why he's around Trump, I think he's just a rope-a-dope guy that's there to kind of go out there and eat up the scenery and make a bunch of noise. But honest to goodness, I don't think that Trump generated his thinking about tariffs by listening to Peter Navarro. That's not who he had in his circle of friends when he was on the Oprah show back in 90, or when he was on any number of different media appearances he's had over the years talking about the need for tariffs.
So just quickly, because I'm going to run out of time here, your take on the budget resolution and then moving into the big, beautiful bill. So they got some votes that maybe were holdouts like Chip Roy and others.
Yep.
I'm not all clear on the particulars of some of the arrangements here, but that seemingly, well, it passed the House, it's going to the Senate, right?
No. This was the House passing what the Senate adopted to be able to fit within the framework of reconciliation, and the House had to take it, and they did, with a couple of extra promises from John Thune in a press conference this morning. So now the shell is there. The one big, beautiful bill warehouse is there. Now it's just, for the next few months, deciding what furniture goes in that warehouse. The shell is now there. We moved to reconciliation. It is now open for business. Now is where the appropriators on both the Senate and the House side start to figure out, okay, so what's going to go in here? What's the tax bill going to look like? This is where all the sausage gets made.
So to be clear on that, because I haven't had a chance, Jason Smith's been avoiding us here for the last couple of weeks, probably because he's busy at House Ways and Means, but the extension of the Trump tax cuts will be included in the big, beautiful bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is going to be, it's not just included. It is the key
the benchmark,
package of it.
Right, yeah.
Everything else is kind of added on to it, but the big selling point of this is going to be the tax package.
But he's going to, in theory, I think what we're hearing is there are going to be more business cuts, and I don't know, is he going further on capital gains?
I've heard that, but again, that's the sausage that's got to get made. Everything up till now was just to create the house, the shell, the warehouse by which everything gets made inside it. Now is where the real work gets done.
Dwayne Patterson, always great to have you on. I appreciate it from the left coast. Have a great week, a great weekend. Enjoy the Masters.
You too.
All right, see ya.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Quite the leaderboard at the Masters this afternoon. This is where you may want to turn the radio down if you recorded it and you don't want to know. But Dan Reardon's going to join us from Augusta National here in about 15 minutes. 44-year-old Justin Rose shoots 7-under, sits atop of the leaderboard right now. Scotty Scheffler is tied for second at -4, along with Bryson DeChambeau. Looking at some other big names here. Rory is in a good spot at -2. He has not had the best first day at the Masters, averaging around 73 over par, so he's negative numbers here. I think he's not off the course yet. He's through 16. So by the time Dan joins us, we may have a little bit more information. Look at Freddie Couples. I mentioned Freddie, -1. He sits at tied for 11th right now. And that is an amazing story. There's a couple other names I see up here, like Bubba Watson, that you don't often see lately. Colin Morikawa. Morikawa is tied for 26. We'll find out. Sergio Garcia tied for 26 as well. I love John Cass. I don't know John very well. We've had just a, admiration relationship for the past couple of decades or so. He's a columnist from the Chicago Tribune that now writes stuff at johncassnews.com because, of course, the world of print journalism isn't what it used to be. John is a conservative libertarian, sort of like I would describe myself, but he is really good when he writes about the issues of Chicago and Brandon Johnson and crime and the nonsense that goes on up there. And I've shared some of his thoughts here on this radio show as well. But his column from this week is outstanding. And I think many of you are going to really enjoy it. And the title is Wall Street Panickins and Democrat Fearmongers, What Do We Owe America's Children? Truth be told, and I admitted this earlier, John's not the best. I think he gets a little nervous when he's on the radio. So I don't really invite him to be on the show anymore because I don't think he enjoys being on the show. So technically, I typically would bring a guest on and not read their column to you because we'd be describing the column. In this case, I'm going to do my best at sharing the sentiments that John Cass had in this most recent column that I think went out just yesterday. And he talks about his situation. He says, his wife, Betty, and I have an old car that is pushing 200,000 miles. It still runs fine, but I was thinking of getting a new one, something fancy, something that speaks to status, to luxury, something posh, something with a quiet ride, something cushy. So he says, I took pictures of my fine motor cars that I'd never be able to afford. But then I looked at another picture, one that I took years ago in my brother Peter's backyard at the swing set. It's my all-time favorite family photo of our two boys and Pete and George's children, two boys and a girl. They're young, tiny enough to all fit on one swing. They're in their 20s now with lives of their own. I have kids that are in their 20s. I have the 10-year-old in the studio with me right now, but I have two boys that are 25 and 28. John said later, brother Nick and his wife Dina had two boys who were born later. Otherwise, they'd be in that photo too. But he says, when I sit in the dad chair in our living room, scrolling on my phone, looking at fancy cars that I yearn for but won't buy, and I look up and I see that picture of the kids on the swing set, I ask myself, what do I owe them? And then the more important question is, what do we as Americans owe the children of America? I think a lot of us of a certain age, and I've said this and I've covered this many times on the radio, that the younger generation does not have an appreciation for the greatest generation. They do not have an appreciation for, you know, our freedoms. And they don't have an appreciation for sacrifices. I don't have an appreciation for sacrifices. My mom and dad certainly do. My grandparents did. But let's face it, we have not had to make a lot of sacrifices in this country. We're sort of unwilling to do it. So what Mr. Cass says is we owe them, those kids, the children of America, a chance at success. Not a guaranteed outcome, but a chance at winning, a chance at a good paying job, a chance to buy a home and someday retire with dignity. The same chance our fathers gave us. We were all given the same thing, opportunity, not a guarantee, but a chance. I had an amazing chance. I went to the University of Missouri with no debt in the early 1980s. I worked my ass off working at several radio stations at one time. I graduated with my bachelor's degree, and I just kept working. And I ended up working at two really, really big radio stations around the country, KMOX and WTMJ, and now here. But what's going to happen to my kids? Like, what chances will they have? Will they have those opportunities? And you know, as he points out, we don't have to face machine gun fire on the beaches of Normandy as our fathers and grandfathers did. We don't have to walk through the killing fields of Southeast Asia. We're too selfish now. We give in to panic when we should stand strong. All we have to do is grow a spine. And as President Trump tries to revive American manufacturing, he's trying to do this with tariffs. And the markets predictably entered a drop, and then Wall Street speculators were in full-blown panic. We know what happened earlier this week. They're all complaining and they're whining and crying about Trump now. But where were they when the Republican and Democrat establishments sold our nation out to China? Duane was making this point a few minutes ago. When they shipped all those good middle-class American jobs overseas, they turned their backs on the American people, and now they're afraid it will cost them money. Mr. Cass says, a self-induced economic nuclear winter. If Trump doesn't call a 90-day pause on the impending levies, cried Pershing Square CEO Bill Ackman, a public supporter of Trump. Yeah, Ackman was out there saying, look, don't do this. It's going to ruin the economy. John says, what? Economic nuclear winter. If Ackman and his friends promise to watch your back, would you trust them? If, on the other hand, on April 9th, or April 10th or April 11th, we launch an economic nuclear war on every country in the world, business investment will grind to a halt, consumers will close their wallets and pocketbooks, and we will severely damage our reputation with the rest of the world that will take years and potentially decades to rehabilitate. That's what Ackman said. And John said, can you go to war with men like these? No. He said they're cowards. He wrote, I knew this type years ago. We called them yuppies. Remember yuppies? Young urban professionals. These days, Trump calls them Wall Street panickins. Now, I had to admit, I was a little panicking here last week in particular.
Oh, you're going to continue to
I'm less panicking than I was, though.
Okay.
But Mr. Cass says, The Panikins wore cologne and paid too much for coveted cigars they'd smoke with the cigar band on to make sure that we would all see, and they coveted bread machines and silk paisley neckties. Remember the paisley neckties?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Trump isn't a Panikin. The other day, he put a post on Truth Social addressing the Chicken Littles as he tries to revitalize American manufacturing and attacked the $36 trillion national debt. Here's what he said, and we said this the other day. The United States has a chance to do something that should have been done decades ago. Those are in all caps. If George Gray was here, he'd have to yell, decades ago!
That's right.
Don't be weak. Don't be stupid. Don't be a Panikin. He said, a new party based on weak and stupid people. That's what he wrote on social, Truth Social, an hour before Wall Street opened. Be strong, be courageous, be patient, and the greatness will result. So he goes back to, because he's based in Chicago, he says in Chicago back in the 80s, stockbrokers got their suits at Bigsby and Crothers. It was owned by the Silverberg brothers, who portrayed their store as more European-tailored and fashion-forward than traditional competitors. They used pro athletes and Hollywood stars to market the store. Michael Jordan was cool. Suits and ties were cool. Images are crafted and purchased like ties, even though the Silverbergs got their smart... or their start, rather, in more humble environs on Maxwell Street. And Maxwell Street wasn't cool then. It was the opposite of cool. This is a Chicago thing. But he kind of tells a story about how in the early 80s he was an intern at something called the Daily Calumet. It was a newspaper on the southeast side of Chicago. And in 2 weeks as an intern, he says that editor, I like this guy's name. His name is Bob Bong. That's unfortunate. Bob Bong made me feel the newspaper's steel writer and political writer. Made him the... steel writer and political writer. He says, I stopped trying to finish my college degree. I had a job and I wasn't interested in the sheepskin. Plus, there was work to do. And he was talking about U.S. Steel at the time. They were laying off 45,000 people.
Jeez.
And Republic Steel, a few miles off, laid off 18,000 people. Wisconsin Steel laid off everyone. So the hollowing out of Chicago manufacturing began. Now, you go back to that time period, we had pretty big Chrysler plant, right?
Yeah, we did.
There were a lot of things that were going on here. Cross on the east side as well. But what John points out in his column this week is the elites were not panicking then. They weren't panickins. They would lose nothing, right? They had their suits and cigars. The people of the neighborhoods, the workers, they were panicking. But they weren't given a big media political voice because they weren't in on the grift, right? So he kind of talks about the grift, and he refers to Mitch McConnell because in a 2019 New York Times story, they talked about Elaine Chao. Elaine Chao was the transportation secretary, but she's also the wife of Mitch McConnell. And she has high-level political connections, and they wrote in the New York Times not only in the United States but also in China. That gives the family unusual status in the world's two biggest, you know, the two biggest economies out there. So he goes into some of the background that the New York Times finds out here and some of the grift that goes on with Elaine Chao and China, et cetera. It kind of gets into some of the weeds here. But the point is that, look, you have working class people that don't have stock portfolios. They're working men. They're working hard. They're trying to put food on the table. And then you have, you know, the Wall Street guys who are ripping Trump because they lost a few million in the markets. Now, I will say this. I know a fair number of very wealthy people. I am not one of those wealthy people, but I have friends that live in different, you know, stratospheres. And the friends that I have, now this is maybe because I hang out with people who are more on my side of politics, very successful people, people who have sold businesses, et cetera. They're not complaining about this. And they're losing money. And they're losing a lot more money than you are or I am. But they think it's worth the sacrifice.
Yes.
Okay, so I would say that not all the rich people out there are in the same camp at this time. But Mr. Cass goes into, you know, what happened in the 80s? 90,000 factories were shut down. 90,000 factories. Whole towns were wiped out. The best jobs were the factory workers that consider part-time work making not enough money to raise a family. And then the Democrats, you know, exacerbated all this. They opened the borders. They looked for cheap votes. Tens of millions of illegals streamed in. All this story kind of connects, right? And then, you know, you kind of connect the dots with the families and the towns and the neighborhoods, the workers, the blacks and whites, Latinos. The bad public schools were crap. They're getting crappier. There were no factory jobs because the coastal elites and the establishment shipped those jobs to China, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Mexico. But he points out China did give us something in return. So did Mexico, right?
What?
Fentanyl.
Oh, that's right.
100,000 young Americans die from fentanyl each year. So his point overall is Democrats in Wall Street have been making fools out of the American working class for years. This is a good line here. The presidential candidate of Wall Street was Kamala, and she pushed wealth taxes and open borders, more DEI, defunding police, trans athletes in women's sports, and they want nothing to do with cleaning up Democrat waste in the federal government or cleaning up any fraud. That's basically their campaign position and the Democrats' position, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. But now they're screaming in panic as if they just had their legs blown off on Omaha Beach. It's so insulting. Cass writes, they deserve to be publicly shamed as they float above us. The masters of the universe, the hedge fund guys, simpering their way through life. They're the ones who fully back the stupid wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Ukraine, and elsewhere. A white college male had a better shot winning the lottery than an internship at J.P. Morgan in 2024 per its DEI policy, regardless of how accomplished he might be. So you have all these things that are happening at the same time over the course, sometimes of decades, collapsing on the American working class. And I think that what you heard from Scott Bessent today, you heard it from Bachchan Sargon on Monday. You know, you heard it from the president. You hear it all the time that he's choosing Main Street over Wall Street. Now, I would also say that I don't think he's ignoring Wall Street. And I think he knows damn well that there are economic consequences and he does not want to leave a legacy that has bad economic consequences.
He has a plan.
Of course, I think. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the plan is going to work out perfectly well. The other thing that I would say as sort of a side note to this, I love John Cass's column. That's why I wanted to share it. And I get everything he's pointing out. And it's sad what's happened to manufacturing. But I don't think that we can bring it back anywhere close to the level that it was. And I think that that's a little misguided. That doesn't mean that we still can't produce great products. And there are examples of that. You know, who was it? Chris Matthews went on the other day and he was whining on CNBC that we're cutting out wood from Canada, saying, what are we going to do? Produce more wood here? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Aren't trees involved
in
wood?
We have the science for
that.
Thank
you very much, Sue. I was very confused by that. But that was a good column by John Cass, and he raises a lot of great points about sacrifice, and younger people in particular share that one. This is Father John Misty. I had a vision that Mary Magdalene. I'm a huge fan of his, and he is on the list of the lineup that came out today for the Evolution Festival late September in St. Louis. Tickets are available. Go to evolutionfestival.com to find out more. I'm glad to get a little bumper music in. I put the Spotify list together. I'll put that up on the Twitter here in short time. In fact, let me do something in real time here, Sue, because you were out of the studio. That column that I just read from John Cass, you would love. And I'm going to post it online because I want people to share it. It really makes some great mentions of, you know, the lack of willingness of sacrifice that, you know, our generation and certainly a younger generation makes. And John is just one of my favorite columnists. He has been for a long time. He used to write for the Chicago Tribune, became more of an independent journalist because of the newspaper industry, but he writes on his website right now. It was really a great column. So I just put that up on the Twitter right now. Let's get a Masters update this afternoon. Sue, you even left me with the theme so I can use the theme this afternoon.
Yeah, how about it?
Right? As we welcome Dan Reardon into the show. He's down there at Augusta National. I took a peek at the leaderboard. How are you? 44-year-old dude is sitting at the top of the Masters leaderboard right now. Dan?
Yeah, it's familiar territory for Dustin Rose. This is the fifth time that he's been a part of the lead or the leader in round one of the Masters. So, and he has no green jacket. So I don't know how much we can read into that. I just texted a friend of mine and said, you know, Nicklaus won here at age 45, and I wouldn't put Justin Rose at 44 in that same neighborhood, but we'll see how that turns out. But it was a really good day in the sense that everybody basically in this field thinks they have a chance to win. There's going to be 50 players tonight who look at the leaderboard and they discount Rose and say, four is the target I'm looking at, which is Scottie Scheffler, and I'm within five of the lead. 50 players within that four under total have a shot at this championship. So it's a good day for the whole field. Good scores. Not too many people really hurt themselves.
Yeah, so Rory needs to get off to a good start. He's kind of averaged around 73 the first day of the Masters. That's not good enough. So he was at minus one when I checked a little while ago, but I guess it looks like he's finishing it even, or is he still on the 18th?
No, he's finished. And the negative on Rory is he was four under par in the middle of 15th fairway, thinking about an eagle. He doubled 15, he doubled 17, and then save the. But there's 54 holes to go, and he gets out early. I think that's a great advantage for him. He'll be able to determine his future very quickly tomorrow morning. If he can get out and post some red numbers early, take advantage of the par 5 second, and get himself back in shape. He didn't take himself out of this tournament. He just could have been a lot better off.
Boy, he would have been in really good shape if he's sitting minus two right now. That's for sure, even in any negative numbers. How about Freddie Couples today, Dan?
Yeah, you know, how does a guy go out and shoot one under at, I think he's age 65.
Love it.
And that included the fairway wood that he knocks in from some distance out for an eagle. I mean, you know, when you learn how to play Augusta, you remember how to play Augusta. Mm,
that's amazing. And then you mentioned Bryson, and boy, he's sitting in good shape right now, unless he poops the bed here in the final holes because he's negative four.
Yeah, well, he bogeyed 17, I believe, to get to back to three, but he's very much in position. And Obert is at four under now, so that gives, along with Corey Connors, that gives a lot of credibility. Like I said, this is a really good first round leaderboard because you have very believable names all within hunting distance, and then you have names of players who can get hot and make themselves a part of this championship. It's been a really good day, and it was a wonderful day weather-wise for all the players. This was a day where you could take advantage of the course a little bit.
So, Dan, I'm in a fantasy football league that I actually won this past year, and the fantasy football commissioner yesterday decides to determine the draft position of this year's league with finishes of certain players on the Masters field. So I have Sun John M, and he's sitting at negative one right now. So depending on where he finishes, if he finishes in the top five, for example, or, you know, we have a group of 10 players, whoever finishes above the rest picks first and then second and third. So I'm hoping for a good finish for him because it improves my draft position in the league.
Well, and as I said, Mark, you look at where you are in relationship to everybody other than Rose, and you think you're probably very much in contention. And I'm not downplaying Justin Rose's performance. I'm just saying that everything seems to repeat itself here. Scheffler contends. Yeah. Rory fades. Rose doesn't win. I mean, these are all very consistent themes, and that's part of going to the same course every year and getting basically the same outcomes.
All right, Dan, have fun down there. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll check in tomorrow from our fish fry, which is at Ott's Tavern in Millstadt, Illinois. We're doing the show from there, and we'll hear from you in 24 hours.
Enjoy it, Mark.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, I got to do a quick one here because I'm out of time. But this is Scott Jennings on CNN with a woman named Tiffany Cross. And Tiffany Cross tries to kind of give it to Jennings a little bit here. They're talking about the tariffs and everything. Now, it's hard to hear, but Tiffany Cross was actually someone who was fired by MSNBC. And you'll hear a little dig here.
You cannot just go and say, I like it. It's mine now. It doesn't work that way. Well, that is what they're trying to do. And in this new world order. Yeah, absolutely. When they're looking at Greenland and say, I like it. I want to take it for mine. That is a very colonized.
Scott, you have said,
I have never, ever said we're going to go to Greenland and, quote, colonize it or steal it.
You're not a member of government, so you're irrelevant.
All right, so wait, there it is. So what she says is, I'm going to replay this. She goes, I'm not even talking about you're not a member of government. So she's disqualifying Jennings' qualifications to have an opinion on this because he's not in government. And then he fires in.
And, quote, colonize it or steal it.
You're not a member of government, so you're irrelevant at that point.
So he goes in, you got fired from your job. It got a little hot. I love those moments on the CNN set. Sue, have a great evening.
You too, Mark.
We'll see you at the Fish Fry tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll leave you with Father John Misty. He's coming to the Evolution Festival.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.